I'm Brian Carpenter, host of Fresh Air at 5, a part of the Education Podcast Network, just like the show you're listening to now. Shows on the network are individually owned and opinions expressed may not reflect others. Find other interesting education podcasts at edupodcastnetwork.com.
Technology for the sake of technology is not where we want to go, but that technology can give us opportunities to do things with our students, regardless of their age, that we couldn't do without the technology. And now that's even more important than it ever has been.
Welcome to the Leader of Learning podcast. This is where educators can come to find inspiration to transform education through effective leadership. I'm your host, Dr. Dan Krynas, and my research and leadership experiences have led me to understand that someone like you, regardless of your role or your title, can truly make an impact in your organization. I chat with amazing guests who epitomize what it truly means to be a leader of learning. I'm so glad you've tuned in. Let's get started. Hey, Leader of Learning, welcome to episode 117. Before we get to the episode, I just want to remind you, as I did last week in our episode 116, that I will be presenting at the ASCD Annual Conference on June 23rd from about 1:20 p.m. till 2 o'clock p.m. I hope that if you haven't registered for that event yet, you will. And I hope you can check out my session on transforming education one mindset at a time. In addition, I just found out that I will also be presenting at the Wii Video Creator Conference in July. More information on that session will come out a little bit later in the school year and into the summer. Now on to episode 117. In this episode, we're talking about making learning sticky. And my guest in this episode, Debbie Tannenbaum, is a fellow coach and coach for digital learning and technology. And she is just about set to publish her first solo book called Transform: Techie Notes to Make Learning Sticky. And what I love about this conversation with Debbie is that we talk about technology and making teaching and learning better through the use of instructional technologies. But Debbie has some awesome thoughts about leadership as well that I really would love for you to hear. She really lives that mantra that I say at the end of every episode, which is that no matter who you are or where you are, you too can be a leader of learning. And we talked about how no matter what role you're in education, you might be able to inspire and empower others through your work. Anyway, enough of me talking about it. Let's hear from Debbie. Right after this will be my interview with Debbie Tannenbaum. And we're back, and my next guest here on the podcast is Debbie Tannenbaum, who has a book that is set to release very soon called Transform: Techie Notes to Make Learning Sticky. Debbie, like me, has found her way in educational leadership through educational technology. So I'm excited, Debbie, to have you on the show. Welcome. And if you could just help fill in the gaps, who are you? Where are you? What do you do?
Well, thank you so much for having me today. I'm a longtime listener of the podcast. And so basically what I do is I am an elementary school tech coach in Northern Virginia. So I work with students and teachers to help them integrate technology into daily instruction. In addition, I am a blogger. I've been blogging on my website, Tannenbaum Tech, for almost 2.5 years now. And I've been doing some speaking and sharing in presentations virtually. And I'm really excited because my book is coming out very soon, and it's all about how to find easy ways to implement technology into both your students' instruction, but also to help you as a professional as well.
Hey, listener, it's me, Future Dan here. We'll be back to the episode in just a few seconds, but I just wanted to pause here and let you know that since Debbie and I recorded this interview, and just very recently, the book has come out for pre-orders. So I want to let you know that, of course, the links for where to pre-order and purchase the book will be in the show notes on my website at leaderoflearning.com/episode117. But if you're interested in picking up Debbie's book, you can also head to TannenbaumTech.com or TannenbaumTech.com/transform-book for pre-order information. Now, let's get back to the episode.
That's so great. You know, I'm excited about the book too, because I've already seen it and I endorsed it, and got the Dan Crina stamp of approval. And I'm really looking forward to it coming out. I think a lot of people are going to enjoy it. But before we talk about the book, you said something about, you know, your work in the elementary grade band in terms of technology. And, I guess I wanted to ask you about not just your journey through education, but specifically your experiences with being a tech coach and finding your way leadership-wise through educational technology. I've done the instructional coaching thing for a while, and now I'm in a position where I'm coaching with more of a technology lens as an instructional coach for digital learning. And I'm going to be honest, and I'd love to get your thoughts about this as well. I have said to people over the last few weeks, and I don't know why it took me this long to even realize this for myself, that I think in terms of leadership, in my position, I'm able to influence and impact instruction and really innovative instruction in ways that I don't know that I'd be able to do as a building or certainly as a district administrator. And therefore, I just feel like I have a lot more of an ability to affect change instructionally speaking, more and make a bigger impact than a building administrator. So I'm looking for your experiences here too, but if you could maybe help answer that question too, or provide your thoughts, I would love to hear it.
Sure. Well, I think we're in a really interesting time right now. We're in a time where technology has taken a bigger role than we could have ever possibly imagined, even a year and a half ago. We've reached the point where it isn't about I would like to learn the technology, but we've created a need to learn technology in a way that we've never had, at least in my teaching career. Last March, when teachers were forced to teach remotely, they didn't have the tools that they needed, at least not in my district. And so it created this huge need to learn. And so teachers that I work with in my building who might have attended a training here or there that I had provided suddenly were eager to learn. They wanted to find ways to reach their students. Their commitment to their students led them to learn ways to engage their students in ways that they hadn't ever done before. And, you know, that continued into the summer. And I was really lucky this summer. I was able to do 2 weeks of professional development with my staff, where I was able to show them how they could use tools to give them opportunities that they wouldn't have had without the tools. And that's really one thing I find is really important when we talk about technology, is that technology for the sake of technology is not where we want to go. But that technology can give us opportunities to do things with our students, regardless of their age, that we couldn't do without the technology. And now that's even more important than it ever has been, because we're able to reach students pretty much anywhere, anytime, using some of these valuable tools that not only allow students to synthesize information, but to also create and share their understandings.
Yeah, I agree. And I love what you said about, like, it's not just tech for the sake of using tech. What I'm really loving about my role and what I really try and do to influence teachers is to really push them to understand that the technology is really a platform for students to be able to not only reach higher levels of thinking and learning and engagement, but also to produce content that shows their mastery of their learning, ideally. But also what I love about it is really engaging with an authentic audience. I really think that as we get into the next handful of years, we're going to see more and more opportunities for students to get experiences in school, even at an elementary level, but certainly in the secondary grade levels, to really start honing their skills at actually creating content for a broader audience, and maybe not just the teacher in the classroom, right? Am I on track there? Because that's what I love about it.
I really do love that part. And I think that authentic purpose is so powerful. And, you know, when we first started talking about using technology, I got my master's back in 2002 with technology. So it's changed quite a bit since then. But when we talk about that, when we take our students from just being consumers of technology, where maybe they're doing a program where they're just clicking buttons, and we then have them create information we're taking that information and we're having them synthesize it. And so that in and of itself is an authentic task, because in the future, we don't know what our students will necessarily be doing. And so by teaching our students to take information that they've processed, synthesize it, and create something new, that's a skill that they're going to need for the future in and of themselves. And that's something that even our students as young as kindergarten can do. And it's something I feel extremely passionate about, because we need to teach our kids those skills, those future ready or 21st century skills or whatever you want to call them, because that's what they're going to need as they become adults. It's not just regurgitation of information. So it's just so important that we do those things. And I've been finding there's so many amazing tools that will help us to help our students to do those things, because we really need to help our students and scaffold that whole process of going from learning to building that independence. And that's something we can start even at those early ages.
Yeah, I love that. And, you know, one of the things that I keep referring back to, not just here on the podcast and in my content, but just in my, you know, professional life, is the World Economic Forum skills for the future. And I think a couple of years ago, they came out with skills for, I think it was the year 2022, and maybe they're up to like 2025 now. But the one that really stood out to me the most, and what drives my passion for getting students, and heck, even other educators, to create content for an authentic audience, is the fact that leadership and social influence really climbed the ladder and climbed the rankings on that list, to the point where it's one of the top, let's say, five most important skills for people to have moving forward. And I'm like, we need to really kick ourselves in gear here and teach our students how to lead and influence by using their voice and having not just more of a say in what goes on instructionally, but how they present information and how they really use resources that are at their disposal to really get their thoughts out and just like really amplify their own voice and the voices of their classmates and friends and people around them too. So I'm all about that. I really am.
I mean, absolutely. And I think that it's just so important that we empower the students to do those things. I know, especially, you know, as far as my journey, I only started blogging 2.5 years ago. I was terrified to first start putting my voice out. I was encouraged by another educator to do so, and I was really grateful about that. But we all have a story to share. And it's so important that we not only help our students to share their voice, but we model that as well. That modeling piece is key. And the students I work with, they know that I blog. They know that I present. Sometimes I'll be like, well, you know, I shared this stuff with my teachers that I work with while I'm presenting. They know that I am taking those risks and going out there. And one of my, you know, one thing I feel really passionate about for the future is I want to try to start promoting that with the students I work with. If you've read, you know, Socialedia by Jennifer Casatad, she talks about that they not only need to have digital citizenship, but they need to have that digital leadership as well. And it's so important, and it can start so early. Even our youngest students can, you know, create vlogs or blogs, and they can share things, you know, with the school's Twitter handle. We can share their work in an authentic way. It doesn't have to be something big and fancy. And I think it's just so important that the students know that. My students know that when they're working with me, I take pictures and then I post their work. Their work has an authentic audience. It's not just the work that they're doing in the classroom, but it's being presented to the school community. And sometimes that will get retweeted out to the district community. So it's really looking at that and also telling your school story. All of our schools are doing amazing things. Social media provides a huge window into all the great things we do at our schools, because we all are better together. And when we see each other's stories, we learn more.
Well, first, I love that you name dropped Jennifer Casatad. Jen's a pretty good friend. And one of my most vivid ISTE memories, I think it was because it was the first ISTE I went to in San Antonio in 2017, was Jen's session that she did on social media shortly after the book released. And that was a lot of fun. But, you know, one of my, I guess we'll name drop in terms of some platforms and programs now too. One of my most recent, most famous ed tech programs at this point has actually become WeVideo. And I know that not all schools have it and use it, but it is just super, it's all encompassing. And it's an amazing platform for students to create content. And one of the things that I keep thinking about it, and if I had my own classroom, this would be easier, but one of the things that I'd love to help teachers out with is, you know, kids, at least my own kids, watch a ton of YouTube. And I think what a great way to get kids to really tap into their own learning by presenting information that they learn in a video or even a podcast format where they emulate and imitate some of their favorite YouTubers or do a style that they really love to watch. And I'm thinking of maybe like an unboxing video. A lot of times I know kids watch these unboxing videos and it's almost mind blowing how captivating they can be and how engaging they can be. But I think of sometimes projects or even a book, like if you're in a, you know, an ELA classroom at the secondary level, or you're in a reading portion of your program as at an elementary level, getting these kids to kind of unpack or unbox the chapter that was just read or the part that was just read in a book, I think that'd be super powerful. So I love stuff like that, really creative stuff.
And at the elementary level, teachers in my district have WeVideo right now. We don't have it for our students currently, but even a tool as simple as Flipgrid can do amazing things. Flipgrid has come such a long way. It's a free tool. And now you can even do podcasts inside of Flipgrid. It has a mic only mode. And so there's so many possibilities, and you can record up to 10 minutes. And let's be honest, when we're working with our students, we really don't want them to go on and on and on. We really want them to plan something that's concise and can get to the point quickly. And so something as easy as that even has screen recording. They can add stickers where they've made something. It can be their own creation. So, you know, I absolutely agree that's so important for our students to do. But also honoring the fact that a lot of our students, you know, might want to try something different. And that whole idea of voice and choice is just so important. I've seen students create amazing things. And, you know, in the elementary level, we use a program called Wixie. Well, Wixie recently added video. So now students can not only make a creation in that tool, but they can create a video in that tool as well to accompany that. And, you know, one of the things I work with my students a lot is that whole critical thinking piece and why their ideas are good ones, especially at the younger grades. And so tools like the three we just talked about, all enable students to really provide that reasoning in a way they might not be able to do in a straight text response.
Yeah. And a little bit of a shameless plug here for me. You mentioned the Flipgrid mic only mode. I love that as well, especially the podcaster in me really loves that. And I created a pretty popular video on YouTube about how to access and how to utilize the mic only mode. So if there's anyone listening who is interested in learning more about Flipgrid's mic only mode to have students explore essentially podcasting more, please check out that video. Go to Leader of Learning on YouTube, and I have a video there on how to do that. Let's kind of transition now into talking about the book a little bit more too, because I'm sure we could keep talking about edtech tools and things like that for a while. And I know that's in the book, but that's not all of what the book is. The book is you on paper. It's about your journey. It's clearly, you know, it's obviously about your thoughts on ed tech as well. But what I do love about the book is the way that it's organized. It's in three parts. Part one, getting your feet wet. Part two, next steps. Part three, take your transformation to the next level. But each of those parts is broken out into the parts of the word transform, which becomes an acronym all unto itself. And so I was wondering if we could maybe just start there and you explain that acronym, what transform means, and then how you really kind of unpack that throughout the book.
Sure. So like you said, transform is an acronym. So in the first part, it's talk, we do the T, R, and the A. There's three letters in each part. And so at the first chapter, I talk about how I had to turn away from closed doors. Until 2017, I was not a connected educator. That seems crazy for me now. And I taught behind closed doors, and it wasn't always easy. My early teaching years, I was always willing to try something new, but I found it hard. I thrive with collaboration and I didn't always have that. Sometimes I did, but sometimes I didn't. And it wasn't until I started to discover technology that I found something that really helped things click. And I found it in my first year of teaching. And I got my master's, like I said, in 2002. However, you know, I kept learning new things, but I didn't necessarily have a community to back that up. And so that first chapter talks about how I discovered technology in a really meaningful way.
And I want to just piggyback off of that for a second. Sure. And I'm sorry if I'm taking another opportunity to, in some kind of an unofficial way, shamelessly plug my own stuff again. But I just wanted to essentially second what you're saying about how you realized you needed to not just kind of isolate and live in your own bubble, in your own classroom. And the reason I say that is because I realized that as well. And it actually led me to contributing a chapter to a book that's not quite out yet at the time of this recording, but should also be soon. And that is The 100 Things That Educators or Teachers Need to Stop Doing. And I'm really proud of the work that I've done in this book and all 100 authors and contributors. But my chapter is Stop Worrying About What Others Will Think of You. And that's a lot of what I wrote about, to be honest, is kind of breaking through the isolation and even imposter syndrome that might hold people back from reaching out to others, whether it's in their own school or district, or certainly, you know, other educators out there in, I don't know, the Twitter land or social media land. Because, man, at this point, if you're not getting connected and if you're not really tapping into other human resources, you're, in my opinion, this is just me, you're really missing the boat, you know. And I don't want to like throw people under the bus or point fingers or lay blame, but I just really think it's so powerful.
I agree 100%, and it's definitely been life changing for me. And so then the book goes into ways that we can revisit how technology is used. Like we've talked about, I believe I talk about transform tech tools in my book, tools that give you opportunities that the tech we wouldn't have without the tech, that are really versatile and really enhance and transform learning. And so in the second chapter, I really spend some time talking about those tools. I have 10 tools that I rely on the most because I feel like they have the most meaningful impact. That doesn't mean there aren't other tools that have meaningful impact. And then in the third chapter in the AI, I talk about amplifying learning using technology. I'm a big proponent of thinking routines. I feel like they really help make our students' thinking visible. So Project Zero's thinking routines are a big proponent. And I talk about ways that we can really amplify that learning with our students using a variety of those transform tech tools. And so all of that's kind of that getting your feet wet part. And then in the second part, I talk about nurturing agency, working with younger students. I found that initially I was playing a lot of whack-a-mole when I was teaching. I'd help one kid, another kid would pop up, and it was exhausting. And
like so just I putting do a out lot fires?
Of, yeah. Mm-hmm. Promote student agency when I talk about using icons. I talk about the role of video in providing agency, the role of language. I also talk a lot about ways to empower your student voice. And then the book kind of takes a little bit of a turn and really focuses on the educator. It talks about seeking connections beyond your school. I didn't really have that connection before 2017. It changed my life. Just going and being on Twitter changed my life. It talks about finding your PLN. I have a unique experience that I built my PLN and about a year ago I got hacked and my handle was totally disrupted. And so I had to start all over again 3 years into my journey. And now I actually believe in a lot of ways I have a better PLN. A lot of the people are the same, but I just followed ed tech leaders. Now I follow education thought leaders. And so that's really helped me a lot to grow as a individual and as an educator. And then in the last part, the book talks about offering your voice. I've started blogging 2 years ago. That led to me then deciding I wanted to speak at conferences. That risk-taking, that challenging yourself is so important. We need to model those things for our students. It talks about reaching beyond your expectations, trying things that scare you, knowing that if you don't try them, you'll never, ever be able to achieve them. And then the book really ends talking about ways to maximize learning's impact. COVID has been challenging, but COVID has shown us so many amazing ways to connect. I mean, you and I connected because of the Teach Better Admin Mastermind. I had been listening to your podcast for a long time, but I had never connected with you before then. And that connection happened because I listened to a Teach Better live, 12-hour live, and happened to ask Dave Schmitto in the comments if I could join, even though I wasn't an administrator. You and I both do coaching. That's a leadership role.
And actually, I'd love to ask you about that. You know, I think, correct me if I'm wrong, you have sort of realized your place leadership-wise in this space that you're in as a coach and in instructional technology. And I have too. And I've dabbled in the admin space before. But again, like I said before, I really have come to terms with the fact that I think, and it really depends on how people, I guess, define leadership. But to me, leadership is really, you know, getting people to take action and to move forward. And in the education space, instructionally speaking, especially, you know, to innovate and just keep pushing the envelope. And again, I just feel like for me, I can influence and impact those areas so much more in this kind of coaching role. And maybe I don't have the admin paycheck, but I also don't have the admin hours and stress and responsibilities either. I guess my question for you is, like, I mean, because the podcast is Leader of Learning and you've listened before and you know I'm all about label-less leadership, like, what was it or when was it that you kind of realized that about you and the role you're in? Like, yeah, I am a leader and darn it, I belong in the Teach Better Mastermind, even though it says admin, because I'm a leader too, you know, stuff like that.
Well, I think it began when I started to blog, and I started to blog for myself, but yet it seemed to resonate with other people, and people would write me things like saying I had inspired them. And then that led to me presenting. And I view my role in the school as definitely a leadership role, because I am responsible for the tech, you know, helping that technology vision for the school to come out. When I started my position at my current school, I started and the person before me had been there a long time. Our styles were very different, but they both helped the staff. And people, you know, people in my staff say to me all the time that they've learned in such a different way, not good or bad, but, you know, so I provide leadership there. But I also provide leadership in my blogging, and I provide leadership as I'm presenting. And, you know, as my book comes out, that's another way. And I think it's just really important. One of the things I've started to realize is that it's not about the title. I know that there's, you know, I've read lots of books talking about that as well, but it's not really about the title. It's about how do you choose to inspire and empower those around you. And that's really important. And when I wrote the book's purpose was to say, yes, some of these things are scary at first, but if you take them one step at a time for first your students, and then you decide to take those same messages for yourself, you're going to find yourself in a very different place that you could have never imagined. 5 years ago, if you told me I would have written a book and been blogging for 2.5 years, I would have thought you were crazy. But I have grown so much as an educator from all of those experiences, all of the reflection that I've engaged in. And I know, you know, and I know as you, when you're podcasting, you get to do a lot of that reflection as well, but it's really important. We consume so much information on a daily basis and it goes in and out. It's really when we take that time to pause and reflect that we really create meaningful change.
And just in case any listeners might have missed this, or Debbie might even have forgotten that she said this, I love what you said about leadership, and that leadership can be practiced no matter what your title is or your role is. Basically, and I'm paraphrasing a little bit, but I think what you said is leadership is how you choose to inspire and empower those around you. I love that. I'm going to put it on a bumper sticker. I think I love that so much. And I love those words, inspire and empower, because that's so much of what came out of my research and what's going into my writing. And of course, you've heard it before on the podcast as well, especially the word inspire. You know, to me, and I love the book title here to transform. You know, transformational leadership is so much about inspiring and empowering others to like all be part of the journey together and find their way and just really make everyone grow, not just themselves. But I love the book. I really do. Thank you so much for joining us here. Obviously, before you go, I realize at this point you might not have a ton of information about the release date. We are recording this a little ways out, but the book should be available a little bit later in the springtime. And I know that everyone will be able to find it on Amazon and probably on Road to Awesome website, I would imagine. But lots of luck with it. Yeah. I thank you so much for writing it and also for giving us the time here on the podcast. How can people catch that blog that you've referred to a couple times and any content that you're sharing, or just to reach out to you for more information?
No problem. So basically on all social media, I'm Tannenbaum Tech. Whether it's, you know, Twitter's where I'm mostly at. I'm on Instagram. I'm now at Clubhouse. I've jumped on the Clubhouse bandwagon. And LinkedIn. I am Debbie L. Tannenbaum on Facebook. Please feel free to reach out to me. My website is tannenbaumtech.com. I love connecting with other educators. I love learning with them. And, you know, this is really one of those things where we all learn together. And I love to share the things I've done that work, but I also love to hear what other educators do as well, because, you know, we like I said, we're all better together and we all need to inspire and empower each other.
Hashtag better together. Love it. We're going to end it right there because I think that's an amazing message. I really do love your thoughts about leadership and what leadership means to you. And then right there, let's grow and let's learn and let's just be better together. Debbie, thanks so much for joining us. I really appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me.
Well, that'll do it for this episode. Thank you so much for listening. If you haven't done so yet, don't forget to subscribe to this podcast on your favorite podcast app. Also, if you enjoy the content shared on the show, please recommend this podcast to other educators, leaders, friends, or anyone you think would love listening and learning. I would also appreciate it if you would leave a positive rating and review on Apple Podcasts, iTunes, or whatever podcast app you use to listen. For more information about me or this show, head over to leaderoflearning.com. While you're there, you can also find the Leader of Learning blog, how to connect on social media such as Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and Voxer, sign up for our newsletter, and even find out how to purchase Leader of Learning merchandise. Thanks again, and remember, no matter who you are or where you are, you too can be a leader of learning.